Hi everybody, I am Louise Eddington, the Cosmic Owl of Cosmic Owl Astrology and a Wisdom Weaver. And today we are going to look at the week ahead beginning April the 22nd. I'm actually going to look a little bit past the week ahead because I am traveling next weekend. And we've got to go and clear up some of the kind of damage that was done of through the most chaotic month of the year. It's all good. It's an insurance claim. But anyway, so we won't be back till late on April the 29th. So I'm going to take you into the Tuesday, the April the 30th. Okay. So how are you all? I would also like, before I dive in, I would like to say thank you to everybody who's subscribed, who comments, who gives me thumbs up, and just who watch as well. We put all this content out. It's lovely to kind of get acknowledged by any or all of the above. I really appreciate every one of you. And I would ask those of you who are not subscribed to subscribe and give me a thumbs up and leave me a comment. I usually at least, I at least kind of like or heart your comments, and so on. So, what a month though, right? How are you all doing? It's been kind of crazy, has it? It's been crazy for me. We had the eclipse, we had Mars Saturn conjunction in Pisces. And then just 2 days ago, I'm recording this on the 22nd, Monday the 22nd, we had the once in almost 14 year Jupiter Uranus conjunction. They're all kind of speaking to each other as well because the eclipse was at 19 degrees and the Jupiter Uranus conjunction was at 21 degrees. They're all kind of, there's so much happening around that degree of the chart. And I'm realizing I've got to add my asteroids back in. So I am just doing that while we talk. But anyway, let me know how you're doing. It's been chaotic, but for me, it's whilst we've been dealing with a lot of stuff, mundane stuff, flight delays, a plumbing leak, and various other things, it's been pretty good overall, I have to say. So I'm not complaining. I really feel this energy of possibility and rebirth. I'm seeing very positive indicators that people are starting to speak to each other again and come together and realizing that we have to talk to each other. It may not always seem like it out there in the world, but I do see these possibilities. So, anyway, let's dive in. I'm going to try and make this as quick as possible, but we do have more biggish things to come. So here's the chart for the week. We're starting on the 22nd. It's a pretty quiet day to start with, but the Libra moon, as we approach the full moon, which is on late tomorrow night, is opposed. Well, yesterday, late yesterday, the moon was conjunct the South Node and it was a North Node eclipse. The moon this morning opposed Mercury, is going to oppose Chiron, is going to oppose Venus, is going to oppose Eris. So really the moon is just pinging everything that happened on the eclipse. The moon is also going to square Ceres. I'm not going to go into great detail about this because I do write on my Substack daily and you can find a link to that. But the moon is also, sorry, also, making a lovely air trine to Wisdom Weaver Caraclo, who's helping us to weave this new story that's emerging from this epic, absolutely epic month. Okay, so I've been trying to encourage people to actually literally write a story of what how they feel they're becoming and what they want their life to look like in all areas. It's powerful time to do that. But let's move on. So again, tomorrow on the 23rd, Tuesday, there are no other major aspects other than the full moon. But of course, there's a full moon, and the full moon is at 4 degrees Scorpio Taurus, and the moon, and it's square to Pluto. I've done a whole video on that full moon, but this is another big transformative full moon. But it's just kind of building on what's emerging from what's coming from this month and from various other things in the past. So the Scorpio full moon is Mars ruled or Pluto ruled as well. So leaving behind a lot of stuff, purging a lot of stuff, purging a lot of trauma, purging a lot of power manipulations and games, and some deep emotional crap, for want of a better word, and moving towards Taurus, which is like getting very rooted in your values. It's Venusian ruled, and it's a nice full moon. There's again, my favorite kind of rant at the moment is about the fear porn put out there by astrology. I do not think Pluto is always a bad energy. Pluto transits can be really, really rewarding. But Pluto is particularly strong right now because he's approaching his retrograde station. Okay, so this is kind of another real purge. And that means that some things come up to be purged that are stopping you moving forward. So you might find, some deep memories come up under this full moon, and some perhaps, literally kind of memories of trauma to be purged. I'm seeing it in people I know, I'm seeing it in clients that, old memories are coming up, and really they're coming up to be examined. And to be letting to let go of more old patterns, beliefs, all that kind of stuff. So it's not necessarily bad. So that's the 23rd. Just let me check if there's any more aspects I want to talk about that day. Nope, we're going to move on to the 24th. On the 24th, I am going to talk about Venus. Venus is over here in Aries, coming up to truth teller and pot stirrer, or shit stirrer, Eris, who kind of likes to shake tables and pull down the picket fence. Because this is all in Aries and we're under that Aries eclipse energy for quite some time, I think this is more about our individuation and finding that divine child within, and saying, I feel reborn, and let's shake some tables and pull down what was behind the picket fence. You don't have to confront people with it. This is more about your individual journey. But collectively, I think you might see some more kind of energies coming up to be purged as well, or to be looked at. There's things coming up all the time for me. I write about some of them in my Substack in kind of the hope that it kind of pings, something for you that's coming up for you. Not the same, but just how it's coming up. And so, there's a lot of past things coming up. Pay attention to what messages come your way, because Mercury is retrograde, revisiting, redoing, reviewing, and Mercury is stationing direct. So anyway, so that's the 24th. I don't think there's a huge amount to talk about. Oh, I did want to talk about Venus as well. Coming up to this, I've added back in Hecate. Venus also makes this lovely fire trine to Hecate, the way shower, the keeper of the keys, who is at 23 Leo, really still connected to Venus morning star that began last August the 13th. By the way, just in date pinging, and if it's not for you, ignore. But do you know that Stevie Nicks wrote the poem that's at the start of, or that's written at the beginning of Taylor Swift's new album that was released on Friday the 19th, just before this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction? And Stevie Nicks wrote the poem on August the 13th, 23, when the Venus star point was at 20 Leo, emerging as morning star. And Venus is only just days away from disappearing. She's going to disappear at 28 degrees of Aries, which is trine 28 Leo, where she stationed retrograde last year on Mary Magdalene's feast day, July the 22nd. The stories are just kind of ping, 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 ping. And I hope when I give dates that you kind of go, oh, what's come from that? What's come from that? You know, I think the more we tune in on are aware, not necessarily of the astrology, you know, you don't have to go and learn to be an astrologer, but the more you are aware of kind of what was coming up then and what's kind of emerging now related to the dates I give, you might want to go and read Stevie Nicks' poem, or maybe I'll post it in the description. I'm not going to read it here. But Hecate is the way shower and showing us the way forward, reminding us that the way forward with that Leo morning star for us personally was, you know, refinding that sense of joy and fun and heart-led life and putting on your crown for who you are as and finding that inner child, which is a little bit different to the divine child. I write about that on the blog too, but we are being reborn, literally. It's kind of quite amazing. And I think that's happening collectively too. But one other thing I just quickly want to mention is that, you know, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction of the 20th is beginning to separate, but you can see they're still at the same degree because Uranus has moved to 22 degrees from 21 degrees just. And making this lovely earthy grand trine to Ceres, who is about our needs and our unmet needs, and often to do with the mother wound and you know, all our needs, physical, emotional, spiritual, and how the structures of our life and society have not supported that. And Black Moon Lilith in Virgo. She is kind of your inner wild woman, you know, perhaps where you've been shamed or felt shame growing up. And she's in Virgo, which is the sign of holistic wholeness. And so this is a lovely creative grand trine as we move into really kind of becoming these new humans that we're becoming, as I keep calling it. On the 25th, Mercury will station direct at 15:58 degrees Aries, not quite back conjunct the North Node, but at the same degree where the North Node has sat right through the eclipses. I use the true nodes, which means they're this osculating path a little bit. They move back and forth, retrograde and stationary and direct, but also move back through the signs overall. But during the eclipse season, because the eclipses are new and full moons near the nodes, they appear to sit still. The node, or well, it's a point, but the point sits at the same degree right through the eclipses and before and afterwards. So the fact Mercury that went retrograde right through that big eclipse we had on April the 8th, stations direct, conjunct the North Node, really kind of pings all that's come up through this eclipse season and says, okay, you've rethought, you've reviewed, you've revisited a lot of stuff. We're now past the full moon that was the first fulfillment of the Aries eclipse. And now it's time to really start to write that new story with Mercury being the mind and communication and writing. And Mercury is really in a lovely sextile to Carriclo, as on the station, and will be until the old trickster moves beyond that sextile. That's helping that rewriting as well. So I'm, the Mercury station is powerful. It's kind of funny. This has kind of been the nicest Mercury retrograde for me because I've not heard anybody really kind of moaning about it and going, ugh, because there's been so much else going on. But that's my thing. So what else happens on the 25th before Mercury stations retrograde? Chiron was at 19 degrees on the eclipse. If you've watched that interview I did with Melanie Reinhardt, you can find it under the Tea with Louise playlist it on my channel if you have not watched it. Chiron was at 19 Aries when the nodes went into Aries backwards from Taurus, and or the North Node at least. And Chiron is going to move forward now, but then he's going to retrograde and will be at 19 degrees early next year when the North Node moves back into Pisces. But for now, Chiron has moved off that degree and is moving forward on this healing journey of perhaps sacrificing a part of the self to be reborn as fully human. Okay, that's how it feels to me. But Chiron is just before Mercury stations retrograde. Chiron is going to square Ceres again. Those unmet needs, those old wounds, often referred to as the mother wound, but it can be a parenting wound, a nurture wound from growing up. Where were your needs not met and nurtured? But also, where is society not meeting those needs and nurturing? And this is a profound journey of healing that we're all on. And I've talked loads about it in my blog, but a lot of people are realizing their trauma patterns, realizing their trauma triggers, what makes them freeze, fight, flight, all of that kind of stuff. And in that awareness and recognition are breaking those patterns. It's kind of amazing healing time. Also, while Mercury's stationing retrograde, Venus will conjunct Eris a bit earlier in the day. So, some truths might come out really about things that have affected your identity in a decent way. I'm not going to talk about the moon because I write about the moon in my daily blog. But the last thing late at night happening on the 25th is that the Taurus sun, now we're under the waning moon rites, but the sun is remaining in Taurus, is actually going to trine Juno. So we're looking at that holistic relationship with ourself and then rippling that out to others. Okay, 26. I knew that was going to be a bigger day to talk about, but the 26th, Venus Day, there's hardly any major aspects. The moon, I'll briefly mention, is in Sagittarius by the end of the week on Friday, and I'll write about that more in my blog. But there's always a bit more optimism when the moon comes into Sagittarius. On to the 27th. Oh, not the 28th. Why did I? On to the 27th. Really, not a lot of major aspects again. So, quite a pleasant Venus day, with just lunar aspects. The moon in optimistic Sagittarius Friday looks like a lovely day. On to the 28th. And again, on the 28th, there are few big aspects. It's this, I'll write about the moon in my Substack blog daily. I will mention, though, that the moon is moved into Capricorn, which has that more serious tone, but also that determined tone, to build and achieve and create the structures of life that you want. But there is one big thing happening on the 28th, is that Venus, and the Sun. Venus is catching up to the Sun now after being quite far apart as morning star. Venus gets to 10 degrees from the Sun, and that's the official kind of heliacal setting, it's called, where Venus disappears from sight until about July the 10th. And that will take us right through her Gemini evening star point that's on June the 4th. I'm doing a webinar on that on May the 1st, and you can find the details below for that. It's $23 because I'm putting a lot into it, but you're going to get the slides and the recording and things like that, whether you can attend live or not. But Venus disappears on Sunday, April the 28th. We will not see her again until around July the 10th. I'd say around, because it actually depends where you are in the world as to where she sets and rises. But the official point is when the Sun and Venus are 10 degrees apart. So she disappears only on April the 28th, Sunday. And no other major aspects. April the 29th. Let's have a quick look at that. Oh, that's a big day. So we'll spend a little bit of time here on Monday the 29th. Mars meets Neptune. Again, you're going to hear quite a lot of fear porn about that, but I like Mars in Neptune. Mars is more spiritual warrior. One aspect of it is that you may feel quite tired and low energy with Mars in Neptune, because Neptune tends to like have this dissolving kind of feel to it, and Pisces is more dreamy, laid back energy. So your energy might be a little low. But Mercury just station direct. You are kind of in a little bit of a resting stage. We are all also in the waning moon after the full moon, when, you know, we are shedding and releasing and moving towards the next full moon. So if you've got a little bit less drive and energy, make sure you're getting lots of rest, make sure you're doing a lot of self-care. But the positive message of Mars, which rules all this Aries energy, rules the eclipse that was on April the 8th, is about becoming more of a kind of warrior for love, warrior for compassion, be between connecting that within yourself. Of course, the compassion begins with you. So it's about showing yourself more self-care, more self-love, and all those kind of things. And becoming a warrior for love in general. Okay. Sure, there is some possibility for illusion and delusion and deception and having unclear goals. But really, the message is to tune into that other state of mind that has been devalued all our lives and for hundreds of years, that more irrational, intuitive, compassionate kind of energy, and then bringing it into the rational plans, creative 5D and 3D, if you like, whatever you want to call it. Because of how everything's going, I think this is powerful, this Mars-Neptune conjunction, if you tune into it and don't sit there complaining that you feel tired and things. That's a message to kind of take it a little bit easy and smell the coffee and listen to the inner voice. The Mars-Neptune conjunction is also square to the galactic center. So if you put yourself in that more receptive, creative kind of state, you know, new kind of faith and belief can emerge from all this, from what you your inner voice tells you, that sense of inner inspiration. So yeah, please ignore the fear porn around these videos. I mean, there's always stuff in the world, right? Always stuff going on. But also on April the 29th, Monday as well, Venus at 7:31 a.m. Eastern moves into her own sign and starts moving closer to the sun. So when she's behind the sun, this kind of means her energy is a little bit, you know, unavailable to us more. But on the other side of it, with Venus in her underworld journey, on the other side of the sun, burned out by the sun, it's being beamed in through the sun, through the core. So we are absorbing some of these Venusian messages around values, rootedness in Taurus. She's going to be behind the sun the whole time in Taurus. The sun is going to come up to Uranus and then Jupiter, and then Venus will come up to Uranus and then Jupiter. And they will be absorbing all this sense of possibility of what we are going to manifest, which is also very Taurian, and how we are going to get rooted in our bodies, our senses, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, all these things have a reason for happening. So everything else that's happening on the 29th are lunar aspects. So let's just take us into Tuesday morning. And when I'm back from this latest travel, I will do a video for the rest of the week ahead. So you'll get that on Tuesday next week. So on April the 30th, I am going to mention the first big aspect. So Venus will oppose Haumea. I wrote an article called Aspect of the Decade about Haumea Pluto squares. There's 13, which is a Venus number related to the Fibonacci sequence. If you want to know more, come to my webinar. And they started in 2022, these Haumea Pluto squares. She is a creatrix. She is pure birth, rebirthing in a very fertile sign, Scorpio. Pluto is death and transformation, or death and rebirth. And they are on this ongoing square. And they will end in 2028. This period between 2022 and 28 is a real rebirthing time. If any of you saw the live stream with Rick Levine and Steve Judd, two of my favorite astrologers, they are seeing this too, this amazing point of transformation that we are in that covers a few years, but it's Rick Levine kept going ahead to 26, 27, and Steve Judd was going, bring it back to now. But I do want to say that this is part of it, this Haumea Pluto square. But anyway, Venus strong now in her own sign, but burned out by the sun, is going to oppose Haumea on May the 1st, early in the morning. kind of really tuning into what we are rebirthing. So there's that word again and again and again. A new paradigm is being born here, and it will look nothing like we can imagine, I promise you. But these are steps in this, and it's all happening within you as without as well. Now, the last thing I'll mention that happens on April the 30th, because I don't know what time I'll get to doing the new thing, is that 11:32 a.m. I'm actually going to show you. That's Eastern. Mars will move out of Pisces, the spiritual warrior, will move into his home sign and saying it's time to really start taking action. By that point, you can see that the moon is coming up to the last quarter moon, and we are approaching the next new moon after the eclipse. Mercury is gaining speed. It's about 5 days after the station direct. So that's when we're kind of out of that station zone. Mercury will be in make perfecting that sextile aspect to Cariclo, the weaver of the new stories that we're creating. And moving forward and going back over the path that he's reviewed, it's really time to start moving forward in bigger ways. Start, I say. I think by the next new moon, okay, you'll really feel the push to move forward after this month, okay? So let me quickly show you. That's going to be on May the 7th. Of course, I'll do a podcast for that and talk way more about that then. But May the 7th is when things will really start to move forward. This month has been amazing, but chaotic and challenging for many. But oh boy, the good that's coming out of it, in my opinion, is huge. Now, I've realized I did not pull cards, so let's do that quickly. And I am actually going to do something different here, only because I got a little complaint that my camera goes fuzzy. Now, I'm going to tell you, I have a great webcam, but sometimes if you pull things up in front of webcams, most pet webcams are slow to refocus. So whenever I hold a card up and hold it up to the screen so that you can see it, it goes fuzzy and it takes ages to refocus. So I've got to stop doing that. So I'm going to pull three cards. I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to share the picture. So bear with me. I have not got totally set up yet to take the picture and or to switch to my iPhone to show you, but I will. So this is for the week ahead. Oh, nice card. I'm actually just going to take the picture. I'm using the Tree Devia deck. There's a discount code in the description with money off if you use my link to buy the deck if you like it. And I will bear with me. I apologize for the time because I really forgot to pull cards. So I'm just going to take the picture. I'm going to send it to my phone. And I am going to share the picture on the screen so that you can see the cards actually more clearly. So this is going to work. So you're seeing my scattered memory come up and go, oh, that's what I meant to do. I didn't get my cross here too because I forgot, but that's okay. The Nine of Swords starts the week. Okay, so we go to the Nine of Swords. Now, it's a reverse card, and tarot has as much kind of weirdness about it as others. Reverse cards are often a bit more negative, but not with swords. So, but we start the week. We've come out of a chaotic time. So it's this card, the Nine of Swords, says, even though you do not feel good inside, you are trying to put on a brave face and not let anyone see the fact that you're experiencing inner turmoil. Try sharing your feelings with someone, and you will be surprised how a simple change of perspective can help you feel better. You are on the right path because you recognize your negative thought patterns, which means you're on the path of overcoming them. And the affirmation is, by observing my thoughts, I distance my true nature from my cluttered mind and obtain peace. That's a great message for the Mercury station this week. Now, the middle card is the Queen of Wands. This is female energy dominates your life right now. You are sensual, attractive, powerful, and independent. You are very social and you radiate optimism. There's a big chance of meeting new people who will be drawn in by your energy, passion, and enthusiasm. Your life is organized and you are managing all of the aspects with ease. Many admire that ability. And the affirmation for that card is, I am a strong woman with magnetic attractiveness. Now then, the last card is Judgment, and we got that one reversed. Pay attention to the signs of the universe, to the signs that the universe has been sending you, inviting you to something bigger. Do not ignore this calling, as it is supposed to lead you to a path of self-awareness and fulfilling your highest potential. Stop wasting your energy on being too critical of yourself and judging the actions from your past. If you read the signs from source, whatever that is for you will know that everything will align as it should be. And the affirmation for that card is, I am mindful of the universe's ways to show me the right way by giving me signs. Whoa. We are coming out of a really challenging few years, collectively, quite a lot of years. And I'm not saying we're done with stuff. Signs are amazing for rebirth. So, anyway, please subscribe, leave me a thumbs up, and leave me a comment. And I really am grateful for every one of you that follows my YouTube and my Substack as well, if you like that. So, this is the deck. I'm not going to hold it up too close to the camera because it makes the camera go fuzzy. So it's TRIDEVIA, Tree Devia deck. So if you like the look of it, much love. Mwah. I will see you in just over a week.